What if everything you thought you knew about Steve Jobs was only half the story? The garage genius who revolutionized personal computing, upended the music industry, and put the internet in our pockets wasn't born a visionary. He became one. This transformation, from entitled prodigy to mature leader, reveals something more profound than any product launch. The capacity for human growth, even in someone who seemed destined for greatness from the start. Jobs' journey wasn't a straight line to success, but a winding path through spectacular failures, painful lessons, and hard-won wisdom. His story challenges our assumptions about genius, leadership, and what it takes to create something truly revolutionary. Jobs' adoptive parents cultivated his sense of uniqueness from childhood, with Paul teaching him that even unseen parts deserve perfection, a philosophy that would define Apple's obsessive attention to detail. Growing up in what would become Silicon Valley gave him front-row seats to technological revolution, while his partnership with technical wizard Steve Wozniak provided the perfect complement. Jobs couldn't code like Woz, but he possessed something equally valuable, the ability to see how technology could transform ordinary lives. His spiritual seeking shaped his unique vision. His journey to India, experimentation with psychedelics, and embrace of Buddhism gave him what he called peripheral vision, the ability to connect disparate ideas into revolutionary wholes. When he named their computer company Apple, this intuition shone through. Unlike competitors' technical names, Apple evoked gardens, wholesomeness, and the natural world, humanizing technology before anyone knew they wanted it humanized. The famous garage where Apple began was Jobs' first lesson in rallying people around an impossible vision. When the Homebrew Computer Club showed lukewarm interest, he transformed his parents' garage into an assembly line, recruiting his sister and neighborhood kids to fulfill orders. This pattern, convincing others to pursue goals only he could envision, would define his career. The Apple II's success stemmed from Jobs' insistence that computers should be beautiful, silent, and approachable. While hobbyists wanted exposed circuits, Jobs saw everyday people who needed technology that didn't intimidate them. When VisiCalc arrived, sales exploded from $7.8 million to $117.9 million in 2 years, culminating in a 1980 IPO that made 25-year-old Jobs worth $256 million. But success revealed his immaturity. He denied paternity of his daughter Lisa, excluded loyal employees from stock options, and created toxic divisions within Apple. His visit to Xerox PARC sparked brilliance. He saw the graphical interface that would define modern computing, but his subsequent behavior showed a leader still learning to lead. He hijacked the Macintosh project, delivered a beautiful but deeply flawed product, and when sales collapsed, found himself exiled from the company he'd founded. At 30, Jobs launched Next and repeated every Apple mistake. He micromanaged trivial details while missing strategic realities. He built a factory designed for 600 daily computers that never exceeded 600 monthly. He obsessed over the magnesium cube's perfect angles, while the paint job alone exceeded his business plan's entire case budget. Next revealed Jobs at his worst, burning investor money, blind to market needs, unable to distinguish critical from trivial. The optical disk drive stored massive data, but retrieved it painfully slowly. Beautiful technology nobody needed. Yet this failure proved essential, teaching him what didn't work. Pixar taught different lessons. Unlike Apple or Next, Pixar had strong leadership in Ed Catmull and a cohesive culture Jobs couldn't remake. Forced to step back, he discovered something revolutionary. Sometimes the best management means giving talented people room to succeed. At Pixar, Jobs learned patience, learned to trust others' expertise, and learned his role wasn't always having answers. Sometimes it was protecting the space where others could find them. These lessons would prove invaluable at Apple. When Apple bought Next for $429 million in 1996, the company was bleeding money in direction. Jobs returned transformed, no longer impetuous, but focused. His first move wasn't a revolutionary product, but a marketing campaign. think different, celebrated creative mavericks without mentioning computers, restoring employee pride while buying time to develop worthy products. Jobs' strategy was ruthlessly simple: 4 products instead of dozens, desktop and laptop, consumer and professional. This focus allowed engineers to create truly distinctive products. The translucent blue iMac wasn't technologically radical, but it had personality in an industry that had forgotten computers could be beautiful. Eliminating the floppy drive for CD-ROM showed Jobs betting on the future rather than placating current demands. The real transformation came with iPod and iTunes. While Bill Gates envisioned PCs as home media centers, Jobs created simple, elegant devices that did specific things perfectly. The iPod's thumb wheel made navigating thousands of songs feel magical. The iTunes Store, selling songs for 99 cents, required Jobs to negotiate with terrified record labels using skills he'd developed through years of setbacks. Jobs unveiled the iPhone in January 2007 while secretly battling pancreatic cancer. Though barely functional, the presentation was flawless, introducing multi-touch technology that felt like magic. Over the next 8 years, Apple sold more than 500 million iPhones, the most successful consumer product in history. The iPad followed, cementing Apple's dominance in how billions interact with technology. Knowing his time was limited seemed to sharpen Jobs' focus, stripping away everything but what truly mattered. He prepared Apple for his absence by creating Apple University to preserve his decision-making philosophy and assembling a leadership team to carry his vision forward. When Tim Cook offered part of his liver, Jobs refused immediately, one of the few times he yelled at Cook, revealing unexpected selflessness. Jobs died on October 5, 2011, leaving behind more than revolutionary products. He built an organization embodying his values with the strength to thrive without him. His wife, Laureen, described his uncannily large sense of possibility, while Johnny Ive noted how Jobs understood that powerful ideas begin as fragile, barely formed thoughts, so easily missed, so easily compromised. Steve Jobs didn't just create revolutionary products, he underwent a revolutionary transformation himself. The impetuous founder who denied his daughter and micromanaged trivial details evolved into a leader who built enduring excellence. His wilderness years at Next and Pixar taught him patience, perspective, and the power of empowering talented teams. Jobs never became perfect. He remained demanding throughout his life. But he learned to channel these traits productively while developing complementary strengths. He retained his visionary instincts while gaining the operational discipline and team-building skills necessary to transform visions into reality at unprecedented scale. The ultimate measure of Jobs' growth isn't the devices that changed the world, it's the organization he left behind. Unlike his first exit from Apple when the company floundered, Jobs' second act created something truly enduring. He transformed from indispensable genius to builder of lasting institutions. Jobs' journey offers a different lesson. Greatness isn't bestowed. It's built through failure, learning, and relentless growth. His story reminds us that our capacity for transformation might be the most revolutionary thing about being human. The question isn't whether you'll fail, it's whether you'll let those failures teach you and make you capable of achieving what once seemed impossible.